discover the inherent power of God in you.
Whether there are challenges or not, we are still the same. We are constant. God is constant. God does not change. And that is the life that we have received. He says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is the same life we have also received. We are also the same yesterday, today, and forever. What kind of life? We are the same because we have the same life with Christ. So when you think about God, think about you. Because everything He is, that is why He told Abraham, He said, I am your exceeding great reward. God gave Himself as a reward to Abraham. And we are the seed of Abraham. Therefore, we have inherited God Himself.
Listen to Pastor Oti Boateng as Christ is magnified in you.
Father, we are grateful. Father, we are thankful. Thank you for this blessed opportunity we have to be together like this. Thank you for the opportunity we have to worship you, to say thank you for your precious Son, Jesus Christ, and His glorious work on the cross of Calvary for us. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for loving us so much, making us your righteousness. Thank you for the opportunity we have for you to live inside us and to live through us, to demonstrate who you are through our lives to the world. We are grateful for this opportunity. Lord, thank you once again. Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a big shout? Praise the Lord. Are you excited to be in church this morning? Well, I'm also excited to be here. We've been worshiping the Lord and ministering to the Lord, and it's time for the Lord to also minister back to us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And this, you know, let me just show you a verse. Do you like verses? Luke chapter 10, verse 41. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Just one. One thing is needful. And this is Jesus talking. Jesus is God, right? Jesus, who is God, when He came on earth, said, only one thing is needful. Only one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. What was Mary doing? Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, beholding Him and receiving from Him. God loves it and enjoys it when you sit with Him and receive from Him. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, I want us to invite the ministry of my wife and myself, our mother. She's our mother, Episcopal sister. Joy, believe in room.
Can do it better for Jesus. Just lift up your hands to the Lord this morning and say that, Lord, as I've come to visit you this morning, to be in your house, in your presence, you have a word for me. Help me to hear it. Let my ears be soft. Let my spirit be open. Just talk to him for a couple of minutes. I know that you've been in worship. I know that you've been preparing, but let's just get down to it at this time. And say, Lord, whatever you have to say to me, Lord, I'm ready. Father, I'm so grateful to be here in the Thesaurus today. Thank you for the honor. Thank you for the possibility to be here. And this morning, as your word comes, may I just be an instrument in your hands. Speak to us, Lord. At the end of it, may we have been delivered, uplifted, corrected, helped, and shown the way again. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. God bless you. Take your seat. Wow. It's always a pleasure to be here, I tell you. Hallelujah. But I have been on this particular round of visits. I felt that the Lord laid the subject of loyalty on my heart. Yeah, to talk to you about, because this church is on its way somewhere. You've been on your way somewhere for years. But as the church is growing and growing in number, growing in significance, growing in effect, one of the things you need to know is that the enemy who located you at the beginning, he has not died. Hello? Jesus said that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Everywhere you see the church, the gates of hell are trying. Yeah. And unlike you who goes on leave, the enemy doesn't go on leave. He doesn't rest. Some of you, when you're on holiday, you don't pray. I mean, you are resting. Exactly. Someone said Mondays. I know exactly the feeling. Then he said, oh, it's Mondays for me. Then he just relaxed. The devil does not relax. Doesn't relax. So one of the things that, or one of the things that he's going to try is to break the unity among us. If he's on it constantly. He's on it all the time. Are you here?
Yeah.
And so one of the things I want to say to you this morning is that there has to be unity at all levels. Unity at all levels is something he doesn't like to hear. And then he reparcels it into, independent thinking, freedom of thought. There's always a nice way to put it, but it's just a nice way of saying something that is okay to be a rebel. It's never okay.
Never.
It's never okay. The body is a body. Amen. As you're sitting here, you look like an individual on your own, but you are tied to the person next to you. And there's no part of the body that is insignificant. Have you ever had a pain in your toe before? You know how the small toe, it looks like we don't need it. The small one. I mean, what does it do? I wish a doctor would tell us that what it does, because honestly speaking, we don't know. Apart from letting our feet look complete. But you get a pain in it and see. You get a pain and see. Gosh, you kick the door. Eesh. That small one. Now, assuming that the small one decides that I am so hurt that I'm leaving, will the body be affected or not? Yes, it will be affected. So I'm just saying this to say that the unity of the body is so important. We need to be together. And now, dear, the enemy, dear, his eye is red. He can see that the coming of Christ is imminent. And so he's getting wilder. And unfortunately, the body of Christ is getting stupider. I'm sorry for my language, but it is real. Never before have we been so idiotic that you sit down, you have gone to school, you have learned how to write, and then you are lambasting a man of God on a social media page. What's wrong with you? What is wrong with you? Don't worry, I don't know who I'm blasting, because I'm sure the person's not here. Are you in the house? Many times, if you know some of those who are writing, the other day, I saw some guy B who had written something. And I said, hey, Holy Spirit, hold me. I almost wrote it on the page. Then I said, no. Let the Spirit of God, yeah, thank you. Are you there? But you understand why I'm saying this? Because if you are smart, you sit in your corner. You won't say anything. You have not built a chicken coop before. Then you have something to say about Tesaros. You have something to say. Meanwhile, as you are there, you have not gone to buy Wawa board before. You don't know how to build. You don't know how a foundation is done. Hello, I'm talking to somebody. Hey, but the church... Why is it like that? Why are there lights like that? When you build your chicken coop and you have put light inside, then put on, no, kill the light so that the cobras will be eating your chicken eggs. What is that? But I'm sure you have been seeing you know what I'm talking about. There's some, it's a wave of something. But I also need you to know that much as you are thinking that I'm here and I'm okay, you need to understand that loyalty today is not loyalty tomorrow. Loyalty today is not loyalty tomorrow. Never assume that you are going to be loyal. There are people who have found themselves on the other side of the wilderness. They never knew they would be there. And that is why it's a topic that we will preach. And we must preach, because you have to be able to see it when you are sliding. Am I talking to somebody today? I want to tell anybody that this one is an antidote. It's an antidote. The vaccine is inside. Then in case you are a little sick, the medicine to cure it also is inside. You know, sometimes you are not lying down that you are sick, but you are a little unwell. The cure is there. The vitamins that you need are there. The reminders are there. But on this particular trip, I have been talking about this particular book, Those Who Are Offended. Those Who Are Offended. In my view, there are several things, several weapons the enemy tries to use, but to me, this one is the number one for today's church. Offense. Hey! Offense. The church is offended. Oh, my goodness gracious. Hey. Hello? The church is offended. Either you have been offended before, or you are offended, or offense is coming, or all the three. So already now, there are three possibilities, which can be in different combinations. Then you can be offended with the neighbor sitting by you, offended with your friend, offended with your father who didn't look after you, offended with your mother who left you and went to marry somebody and left you with your grandmother. Hey. Offended with your shepherd. With your shepherd, you are offended because your shepherd calls. Then you're offended because your shepherd didn't call. Hey. Chese. What should we don't even know what to do. Then when you finish, now you're offended with the pastor for telling you that you shouldn't be offended with your shepherd. Hey. The worship leader is offended with the instrumentalist. The choristers are offended because even though my voice is nice, you have never chosen me to sing the solo before. The instrumentalists are offended because I am a better pianist than this other guy, but you never feel me. Hey, the sound team is offended because we are blasting you every day from the pulpit. Hey, as for the sound team, eh? If you are there, hello, sound team, hi, yeah, good to see you. Charlie, you need armor. Today I've come with armor for you. You need armor. Because the way we can fire the bullets from here, if you are not careful. Are you in the church?
We are here.
Yeah. So the offense, it is real. The girls are offended because the guys keep coming close and they don't propose. And then when they thought that the guy was interested, then he suddenly turns away to another somebody. Then the guys are also offended because the girl, she knew that she didn't like you, but she was chopping your money. Hey. You paid her fees, you took her out, you saw her admiring some hairpiece, you went to pay for it. Bishop, that we are offended. You did what? You took care of her friend. So she bore. You should have been taking care of her. What's her friend? Hey! Charlie. But can you not see the The weapon, can you not see it? Yeah. And it is working in the church. Yeah. It's really working. You are offended because we visited you in the hospital, but we didn't visit you enough. Yeah. It's a problem. Or you're offended because when your friend's mother died, about 25 of us went. You and your mother died. Something was happening. So we sent only 5 people. But you have not been seeing Amidi. Every funeral I've been going. But now that it's my turn, you have... Charlie, we don't even know what we're about. We cannot correct you. Charlie. But you see, Jesus told us that offense will come. Matthew 18:7. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. It must happen. It must happen. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. In other words, Jesus is saying that offense said, yeah, it will come. 17:1 is that saying a simple thing, the similar thing. He says, it is impossible. It's impossible for it not to come, but that offenses will come. Are you there? So the truth of the matter is that, you see, that's why it's such a successful tool in the enemy's hand. Because offense is natural. It's part of our natural being. Are you here? Is there anybody here? You've never been offended before. I think you can stand so that you come and lay hands on all of us. Oh, you have never been offended. Please, let me see your hand. Eja, we need you desperately. How many of us have been offended before? Please, just thank you. Somebody said, even as she's there, girl, she's feeling it now. You see. So the offenses come, but I can give you one cure. There's a way in which you'll never be offended again. I was telling them, I think it was in Kaswa, I was asking if they want to know. They said, do they won't? They need to know. Do you need to know? Should I share with you? You'll never be offended, though. This is my key that I'm giving you. Ah. It is fireproof. Never, never. You will never be offended. Ah. This is my fireproof key that I'm bringing. Ah. You will never be offended again. So, should I release the key? You are sure I should release the key? You are ready for me to release the key? Die. Die. As for, what dead body knows offense? Sometimes we're going for our beloved one who has passed. When you go, they'll take the body from the way they even threw the body on the floor. Big bang. Hey, your heart, but the person, nothing. No problem. You can drop it into hot water, drop it into cold water, put it in the back of the car, do anything that you want to do. A dead body will not be offended. But if you have life and your heart beats and you've got blood, you will be offended. And yet it is that very offense that the enemy can use to delete you. So you need to understand that offense. When you are offended, you need to recognize that the enemy has risen up to delete you. That's his ultimate plan. You there or you not there? And that is why, as for this book, I don't think you should play with it. Today, I need you to take it and just sit by it, because it's such a wide, so many things can offend us, and you need to study it for yourself. Are you in the church? Yeah. Anyway, now the issue is that when you are offended, if you allow the offense to remain, it can change you. You become something you never planned to be. I want to show you a very quick example from the Bible before I move on to something, a little different. But in the book of 1 Samuel, in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 21, there's a scripture there. It says, David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. Many of us are conversant with the fight that Saul had with David. You know that story. How he chased him, how he tried to kill him. But are you aware that the Bible says at a point he loved him? At a point he loved him. He really liked the young boy, you see. But something happened. Like you when you came to the church, how you loved the church. Hello? You loved the singing, you loved the dancing. Oh, as for the preaching, dear. As for the pastor and his wife, they are me, Charlie. You were just... Something happened. Let's continue 1 Samuel chapter 18 from verse 5. David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely, and Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Next verse. And it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000. Some things are very painful. Saul, he was their king. He has been with them. They've been fighting, was fighting. David now saying that he came. The only thing he has done is to kill one giant, one Goliath that he killed. After Motonium, you are singing and you are dancing. You are saying that, oh, that's David there. He has killed 10,000. That's for Saul, there are 1,000. If you were Saul, would it pain you or not? I said, will it pain you or not? Yeah. Every day I've been going on visitation. Every day I've been bringing people to the church. Yeah. Only today that this person has gone to bring a bus. You are saying that, oh, the rest of you don't know anything about busing. Like, can you not see the... Just today. Only today. Now you are coming with this one-time performer. And lifting the person up and saying that, oh, see an example. This is the example of a cell leader that we need. The Bible says that Saul was very wroth. And we can understand him. You see, one of the things about offense is that offense is dangerous under all circumstances. This case, he had a case. It's not only when you don't have a case. Sometimes you have a case. You were a child. Your father brought you up. You never asked to be born. As you have come, the man has not paid any fees. Struggling and quah, you are just hustling in life as if you had decided that you come. And when you go to go and ask him for money, then he treats you. You see, you are right to be offended. You are right. But, if you don't let it go, if you don't heal, what happened to Saul is what will happen to you. Let's continue. Are we not reading the same story? Okay. So let's continue further down. The same chapter. By verse 10, it says... So by verse 10, it tells us that, look at it. It came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came up on Saul. You know, Saul and God had already fallen out. They were not friends anymore. And he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. The man who loved the boy, this boy was just a shepherd. This boy, he had not gone to school. He was not a gentleman in any way. It was Saul who had brought him from the following of sheep into the palace. It was Saul who had made something attractive out of him. Are you here? The Bible says that Saul loved David, but the love that he loved him, no, had now turned to hatred. And here he was twice. He tried to kill the boy. If you stay with your offense, it will make a murderer out of you. It will make a sinner out of you. It will make you a dangerous person. It will make you an evil person. Are you in the house? You cannot afford to remain offended. And that's why I've come to speak to you this morning. That whether the offense is with a cause or without a just cause. Charlie, you have to heal. You have to heal. Are you in the house? But this morning, my topic is not offense. Because I'm talking the house of God. And in the house of God, the number one cause of offense is correction. And that's why today I want to talk to you about the ministry of correction. The ministry of correction. Amen. There are many sources of offense. In fact, when you get your book, you can read it and you see there are sources. But the number one in the church, the greatest source of offense is correction. And so today, for the next 30 minutes or so that I have, I just want to talk to you about correction. Are you there? Because if you can understand correction, if you can allow correction in your life, you will escape from a lot of the potential offense that you could have. Are you here?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you points, maybe just two or three. Point number one, we need correction. We need it. We need correction. Are you there? We need correction. We need it. You may look like an angel, but you need correction. Yeah. You may look as if you are nice, soft-spoken, respectful, but you need correction. We need correction. Tell your neighbor, I need correction. Personalize it. I need correction. Are you there? The scripture agrees. 2 Timothy 3:16. You see, I like hiding behind scripture. When the scripture says, nobody can argue. Look at it. All scripture, not some scripture. All scripture. All is given by inspiration of God. For what? Look at it. Doctrine. Reproof. Correction. Instruction in righteousness. So you doctrine and dungeon. I know they have been giving you good doctrine in the church. But look at it, out of the four things, two have to do with correction. Reproof is rebuke. Yeah. Reproof, it is rebuke. Someone says, what is wrong with you? Hey, it's a rebuke. That's the use of the scripture. It's very important for us to say it because we are in the day of a please me and bless me era. Yeah, those of us who are preachers of these kind of messages, we are not popular people. To be popular, I see you receiving. And all of us like to receive. It's nice. It's nice. But I tell you, more important than the receiving is the correction. Otherwise, the scripture would have said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God for blessing and for... It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. It says for reproof, for correction. It's in the scriptures because we need it. Hey, I'll say it again. I need correction. I'm trying to get the thing to enter that I need. You see, it's easy to say, but when we are correcting, you see your face. Ajay. I'm just going to read scriptures for you, more scriptures. 2 Corinthians. Look at Paul's words in 2 Corinthians. We're reading from verse, just two verses, 1 and 2. 2 Corinthians 13, 1 and 2. Look at Paulo. Look at him talking. This is the third time I'm coming to you. I came once, I came the second time. I'm coming the third time because you didn't hear the first two times. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. Verse 2. I told you before and foretell you as if I was present the second time. And being absent now, I write to them which heretofore have sinned and to all other that if I come again, I will not spare. Charlie, Paul, he must have been partially Ghanaian because that's a very Ghanaian way of speaking. I will spare. Are you not surprised that he's talking like that? It's a very Ghanaian way, very comfortable. He said, I've told you before, I said it the first time. I said it the second time. You didn't hear. This is the third. When I come. When I come. When I come. When I come. I won't spare. Charlie, the word of God is nice. It's very, very nice. Yeah. So when you are being corrected about something, take the correction first. Some of you grew up in homes where you were not corrected. Yeah, that's a bit of your struggle. So you need to see that the wrong thing was done. Yeah, because when you grow up in a home where you're not corrected, anytime you're corrected, you say, they don't like me. That's one of the signs. From today, You are changing. You, I'll get there. I'll get there. I'm coming. Let's go to hey, Paul. Okasau. 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians 4. I'm reading from verse 19. But I will come to you shortly if the Lord wills, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What will you, in other words, what will you like? Shall I come unto you with a rod, or in love and in the spirit of meekness? You think the rod is for what? Just stroking the cheeks of the sheep. What's the use of a rod to a shepherd? The sheep was just about to enter the road. You see, some of you, when you are being corrected, you're offended because you say that, why did they talk to me like that? You are about to enter the road and the shepherd can see the car coming. It's not now he's going to go on one knee and say, please, I beg you, in the name of Jesus, can you go back? What you talking? Yeah. Ah! The rod will come out and hit you across there. He's saying, but Pastor, what you were saying is true. But you see, in the way that you said it. You see, that's why the sound people, they're always suffering. You see, because as we're in the flow and we are preaching, then you suddenly do a quill. And you see, the interruption that you have brought, it can kill the spirit as we are here. I will not pamper you. No, 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 no. I will fire a bomb and it will hit you. But Paul said, should I come with a rod? This is Paul, Apostle Paul, the writer of most of the New Testament. Should I come with a rod? There is a break. You have not married the guy. You are sleeping with him. You are living in his house. You are washing. You are washing. You are cooking. Yay! One lady said she was very hurt. She was very hurt because they had gone to some family, something, something, and the guy's people were saying to him that, oh, but the girl, will you not marry her? Do you know the guy's answer? If I am getting the milk, why do I need to buy the cow? Hey! Charlie! Hey! 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 Brother, my heart, our hearts are broken. Bishop! Bishop! You know, he didn't know that the girl was within her. That is, if I'm getting the milk free, why should I buy the cow? Is what?
An offense.
Very offensive. Very painful. And you, the guy is riding you, and your pastor has risen up and said, if you don't marry this guy, I'm going to break this thing up. And you, the girl, rather, you are offended. You're offended with your pastor. You're offended with your pastor. You, the beneficiary of what he's saying. It's a pity. It's a pity. It's a pity. Rod. Paul said, should I come with a rod? Please ask your neighbor. Should we come with a rod? Wow. Jeremiah 7:28. But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. Such a thing should never be said about you. Are you in the house? Yeah. That's why I started by saying that the first point is that I need correction. This is the Lord talking about a whole nation. And he says that this nation does not receive correction. And you see, when you don't receive correction, you eventually hurt yourself. You get it? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 5:6 that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Second, point number two. Without correction, things get spoiled. Yeah. Without correction, things get spoiled. Yeah. Things get spoiled. Sometimes when we're correcting things in the church, there are reactions. I don't know what happens here, but in my church, if we are, the choir is going to sing and you are not in uniform, you ain't singing. If you didn't come to the rehearsal, you ain't singing. You may be in the uniform, but you have decided to wear a miniskirt. I don't want a miniskirt on my stage. You ain't singing. Yeah, I don't mind. You may be in the congregation. I ain't got a problem. But on my stage, no, not with your not planned to have. Are you there? If it is not done, things will spoil. And some of you who are grown up, you cannot cook because you couldn't take the instruction. You couldn't take the correction. Hey, Charlie, our mothers, they were wild, though. Hey, you see, you are the blender generation. Some of us, we are the stone generation. No, before the Potoiwa, well, I don't know, but before the Potoiwa, there was a stone, the grinding, no? Hey, the way man has suffered over that grinding stone. Up till today, when I see a grinding stone, I go the other way. Hey, when you are grinding the thing, you are tired. You see, the thing you are eating as granite paste, we used to start with the granite and we will beat it like that, get to it, but then we put it on the stone and you are now coming to nyam it on the stone until Charlie. Then you say that, oh, the thing is smooth. And your mother says, it's not smooth. She said, do it again. And do it again. But you see, if you don't do it, that's why when you finish cooking, like a small girl, a certain girl that we're teaching, she called us, she said that when I finished the kontom reno, it didn't look like it's supposed to look. Yes. Hey. And I mean, and if your mother is the type with the fast hand, the knocks from the beginning of the food to the end. Some are fast with the hand like this, and some too. Oh man! That's why you can cook. That's why you can cook. That's why you can manage your home. Yeah. If the correction is not administered, the thing will spoil. We're in the house of God. If we do not correct things, the church will spoil, and you will not like the church. Can you not see that we're enjoying peace as we're sitting here? But the reason why we're enjoying the peace is that there's an instruction. All children, go over there. But are there not some mothers? Peace, I don't know about. They're here. When we say take your children over there, they say their children are more precious than the other children. So their children have to be here. They left the church called that. It's okay. I mean, how? The only person who is excited by the noise of the child is the parent. The rest of us were not excited. But if we don't do that, we all can't be here. Maybe some of you, your children are angels. So my children, it's today that they are pastors, but when they were children, hey, wild guys, oh, when you see them like that, don't be fooled. Goodness gracious. They're very wild guys. And there were three of them. And when they are together, that is when the issue. Hey. Bishop, my last son, we used to have an usher devoted to him. Devoted to him. Yeah, because Charlie, the guy wake up on Sunday morning, it's like, what new way can I find to disrupt the service? Oh. Meanwhile, in those days, his parents were struggling pastors. Just managed to get some 30 people into the church. Then they will barricade the door at the church and say, this guy will find his way out. So there's a whole usher. His only job is to be at a certain vantage point to see this guy when he's coming up the stairs. Then you say we should leave them to come and run around here. How is the preaching of the word going to be? How is the singing going to be? When the drummer is drumming, the small boy has gone to take the sticks. What are we going to do? You see, I'm just trying to give you, to show you how it spoils when we don't allow the correction. So when you're a mother and they tell you that, listen, take your child over, you see, even for you, you need to take the child over there. You need the break. You need to hear the word of God. Many women, you are non-spiritual because of this matter. As you come to a church, you are running after your child. You don't hear anything. Don't fool us. Don't tell us that you are listening. If you like, I'll just ask you, what is the first scripture I read today? You come. Are you in the house? Yeah. Sometimes we must correct the way we behave. You know, I've often read the story in Esther chapter 1. You had Queen Vashti there. The king called her at the peak of a feast and she refused to go. And I've often said to myself that this girl, somebody didn't bring her up. Somebody didn't bring her up. Because by the time you are a queen marrying, being married to a king, you should know that dressing up and putting a crown on your head and just looking beautiful is part of the deal. That's the job. Are you there? If you don't correct it, it'll spoil. Have we not seen the British monarchy? See, they are very quiet. You have woken up, you have gone to marry somebody, some American girl. The girl has come to her. I said, I don't understand why this has been, this and she has bombed the guy out of his, bombed him out of his home. But the British monarchy, they are very some way. Listen, if you are like me, you can't take those things. Because me, I can't imagine living a life that my whole job in life is to look pretty. I can't imagine. Then you don't go there. Yeah. When they ask you, will you marry me? The answer is no. Because I cannot take those things. Hey. Are you there? You said you want to marry a prince. Part of marrying the prince is looking beautiful, is bathing how many times a day, is wearing clothing that will be inspected, is wearing shoes. You don't have your freedom. You don't have. That is the job. You cannot take the job and then now start to quarrel with them over whatever they are doing. We are watching the boy. She has spoiled the boy's life, I'm telling you. She has spoiled the boy's life. And even as they are trying, you see, she's very happy where she is. Oh, but the guy is not happy at all. Hey, you are very quiet on me now. The guy is not happy at all. He's not his, he's out of place and he knows it. The girl, she has got the title. She has got everything. She's running her own campaign. The guy recently came to try and patch up things with his father, trying to see how. It's not. He's grown up his whole life. This is all he knows. You see? Somebody didn't correct him. Or you don't get what I'm trying to say. Yeah. This girl, Vashti, you are a king's wife. The king has called you to come and just come and display yourself. You say you won't come. The thing is spoiling. You see, she just disgraced the man. And you can see that, you see, her own life is what's spoiled. Her own life. Because when the king rejected her on this, went and found somebody else to marry, what do you think happened to Vashti? Number one, she was removed. Number two, she'll be put in another place. She's alone there. Number three, do you think anybody else is going to come to change that life? Any guy, you think any man will make a mistake to come and say, I want to marry the king? Like, it's his own life. They'll kill him. That's the end of her life. Her life has changed forever. She's just missed nobody from nowhere, desired by no one. No, nothing. Because she wouldn't take a correction. And there are people in the church who don't take a correction. Because you don't take the correction, the ministry that God gave to you, you bomb yourself out of it. And for the next how many years, you are just a shadow roaming around. Yeah. Some of my father's enemies who took him on the page, it was correction that was administered that they couldn't. The chief of, the one who led them to go and say, let's go to court and all that. He was a young man. He joined the church as an 11-year-old. And our father just loved him because he was a small boy. Are you getting it? So many times when they say, hey, you say, oh, but daddy be. And all of us, we have people that we like. You see, these my guys, what they want, they get. You know, so all of us have our soft spots. So he kept on like that. Then eventually, daddy felt that the thing is spoiling. So when he wanted, they said, daddy said, it's not happening. This is not happening. This time, obey what I'm saying, do this. That is the mess we are seeing. Yeah. And if you think he has troubled Bishop Dyke, he has rather troubled himself. He cannot preach anywhere, cannot do anything. He's about to become a ghost, if he has not become already. Yeah. So if you don't allow correction, you don't take correction, the consequence is not nice. Are you in the house? Let's continue. Number three. Correction is a sign that you have a father. Yes. Correction is a sign that you're not a street child. It's a sign that you come from somewhere. Everybody wants to belong, I'm telling you. We want to belong somewhere. Correction is a sign that you have a father. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. I'm reading from verse 5. You have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of him. Can you see it? For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son who he receives. When God loves you, he will correct you, and I promise you, he won't come down from heaven to do it, but it will be done. If you endure chastening, verse 7, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if you are without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are a bastard and not a son. I don't know if you are seeing what I'm seeing. Yeah, it's in the Bible. The fact that you are corrected is a sign that you have a father. It's not everybody that we talk their matter. Some people, you are there, we haven't said anything. Yeah. Has anybody ever told you before that you smell? It's a very difficult thing to say, but it's a very wild sign of love. It's a very wild sign of, the person loves you enough to take that bad feeling, because the person is also feeling bad, seeing it, you see. But as you are walking, you cannot smell yourself. Or sometimes you imagine that the smell has gone. I don't know where you imagined it has gone to, but... You didn't wash. You haven't washed for the past 2 weeks and you wore the thing again, you know? And somehow you imagine that, oh, it's okay. That's fine. Then you take some perfume and it makes it even worse. And you go spraying over, you know? And then somebody comes and tells you that you're smelling. It's a painful thing, you see. It's a painful thing. But honestly, it's because the person has a certain regard for you.
Yeah.
Certain regard for you. Are you in the church? And the Bible is saying that the person who the Lord chastises. Now, you are saying that, oh, if God is chastising, if he's the one correcting me, I'm okay. Do you think you hear from heaven, my son, what you are doing is wrong? No. He's going to correct you through somebody. So much as the correction is coming through a human agency, that person is the representation of God to you. And it is a child that you or someone who's a child to you that you correct. The people in your life who correct you are the people who are being good to you. Those who are singing your praises, I beg you, don't trust. Don't trust. The church is becoming very quiet on me. Oh, yeah, but it's important. And so I want you today, I'm sharing this with you because I want you to make up your mind that correction there, I will accept it. I will receive it. Even when it's painful, I'll receive it. Are you there? I will receive it. I will swallow. When you are being corrected, now let me just quickly show you how to receive correction. How to receive it. You see, listen, every point, it may not be broken up in points like that in this book, but you'll find it here. So I can go a little fast. Decide that when you are being corrected, instead of thinking about whether the person is shouting or what the person, think about the issue. Think about it. What did I do that was wrong? Because when you think about it, you correct it. Are you there? Number two, or the second thing, don't start to think whether others have received the same level of correction or not. It matters not. You say, hey, me every day, they are shouting at me. But the last time when King Solomon did this thing, they didn't bless him. They didn't say anything to him. Do you know why we didn't say anything? Do you know whether we even saw? Decide that you will not answer back or come with a counterclaim. You know how we like to explain? Daddy, it's true, but you see, the reason why is because... No, just take the correction. Just take the correction. Hey. Decide that you are going to be humble. Decide that you are going to be mature. Decide that you are going to accept the... You see, when you get into that frame of mind, you see that... You begin to become a better person. The devil cannot use it to become the offense that will burn you out. Are you there? I want to talk to those of you who like anointing. How many of you like anointing? Hey, I'm seeing plenty as you like anointing. Ooh, are you sure? you will be anointed to the degree that you accept the correction. Yeah. You'll be anointed to the degree that you accept. You see, when you don't accept correction, there's a certain level of anointing you will not walk in. I'm going to share Psalm 141 with you in verse 5. Psalm 141, verse 5. Can you see the verse? Let the righteous smite me. It shall be a kindness. And let him reprove me. It shall be an excellent oil. Are you there? Let the righteous smite me. The righteous, that's anybody who's, you know, the Lord is using to correct. Let that person smite me. Let the person say what they will. Let them do what they will, because it is actually a kindness to me. Look, all those knocks your mother gave you, was it not a kindness to you? Has it not made a proper somebody out of you? Oh, yes. Hey, one of my daughters-in-law, Charlie, my youngest son became a bishop recently when he got back home. Oh, man. Come on now. He had been traveling for 2 days or so. He arrives in the house. There are candles on the table. There's some hair. It was not easy. When I got the picture, I sent the picture to Brother. I said, Daddy, see. Then he wrote it and said, Charlie, this is fantastic. But that young lady, her mother is a caterer. Ah, the things she has suffered in this world. And yes, and Kitwa, those of you who are children of, especially first daughters of caterers, you know what I mean. First daughter of a caterer. Charlie, you are the worker. Hey. No salary. You are the unsalaried and paid worker. Hey. You wake up 5 a.m., 4 a.m. Every order is on you. You start it before anybody arrives. When you finish, you are the deliverer. So you finish, you change, and you put it in your car, you go and set up, and then you go, hey, it's a hard something, something, something. Are you in the church? No, the washing the gym, you start there. Then you begin to, you see. But today, we are so impressed. Oh, you don't understand what I'm saying? Her mother eyeing her. Her mother not being happy with her. Because she's at choir rehearsal when we should have started the next something, something. Hey! Her national service life there, it was like cine. Yeah. But you see, it has brought forth something. It has brought forth something. Because as she was making those things there, she's very busy. Very busy, you see. And so that's why I said, it shall be a kindness. Let him reprove me. Then it says, reprove means to correct you. Why? It shall be an excellent oil. Those of us who love the anointing, there is a level of excellent anointing you will never have until you take correction. Until you take correction. I'm going to use the music industry as an example. There are a lot of people who are good on their instruments. Good singers. Totally anointing free, many times, because they can't take correction. So because they couldn't take correction, they couldn't fix themselves in any ministry, couldn't fix themselves anywhere. They'll wake up and start telling that, oh, I have my own ministry. Nothing day. They are running away from correction. But those who have allowed their correction, you begin to see them rising. It's the same in the pastoral ministry. The same. There is an excellent oil that comes out of the fires of correction, because it's a fire. Hey, anybody who tells you there's not a fire, they haven't been corrected before. Yeah, the ones I'm talking about, or them knocking your head in, is small. The one at home, the correction in the church. Wow, pray about it. Are you in the church? Yeah. You see, and this is a scripture which you should just tuck under your armpit and pray. As you pray for excellence, remember that there's some reproof that you need, and decide to take it with the humility of a child. Are you there? Many wives, you are in the house, you are misbehaving. Nobody can see what you are doing. But as you begin to come closer, then we can see what you are doing, and we correct it. Hey, daddy only likes my husband. Be quiet over there and do what they say you should do. You see, as you come closer, you know, when you are far, there's a certain fire that doesn't reach you. But as you draw closer, you begin to see that it is not easy. And that form, it is not on the floor. But that is what begins to bring you into excellence. I'm sure those of you who work closely with Bishop, you know what I'm talking about. Oh, you see, they are trying to look as if they are not saying anything. Yeah. Reverend Ellie, what I'm saying, is it true or is it not true? Thank you. Thank you, sir. You have to be, yeah, it's real. It is real. His life is very different from... His life is very different from a pastor who is across in another city or another part. Yeah, very, very, very different. The fire will be hot. Occasionally, come show it and catches. But it is also what brings up. Yes, it's also what brings up a certain excellence. But I want to also say to you that accept correction, because when you don't, it can delete you. And I'm going to share a testimony of that from my own life for just 2 minutes with you. You see, as for, sometimes I look at it and I say that correction, pardon, yeah. I've collected it in all forms. And in all kinds of places, you see. But there's one correction in particular that I remember. Because if God hadn't rescued me, I wouldn't be in ministry. About 25 years ago, I'd entered into full-time ministry, and things didn't go the way they should. And as for my father, dear, he has never been afraid of a human being, especially one of his. I had left home, and even my family was in the north. I'd come down to come and work on some things. Well, things didn't go well. Things didn't go well. And I was wrong in many things. My mouth was like a gun. And Charlie, you say no. A whole lot of things didn't go right, and within 9 months I was sacked. I went back home and life was not the best, because I had had a job which I had asked for leave of absence, had moved away, and a whole lot of things. But whatever it is, all the things I was doing in church, because I was now down south, my children had, others had inherited the jobs and all that. So I came back out of full-time ministry, and with nothing to do in the church, and very hurt. Because, much as I could see, usually when you can see you're wrong, you say, oh, but they should understand. Oh, but. I mean, are you there?
We are here.
You thought you were the only people who have been corrected. I was, my last correction cry was about 3 days ago. So, oh, cry. You are the one who needs privacy, immediate, public, in front of people, behind, everywhere, anytime. Oh, that's my father. It's a sign that I have it. I belong somewhere. Oh, you don't understand what I'm saying. So I came back home, and for the first time in my life, I was depressed. You know, I'm partially sanguine. Sanguines, we don't understand depression. That's true. But this time I was depressed. And I'd wake up in the morning. At night when I'm going to sleep, I'll pray. I'll say, Jesus, I'm sure I'll be seeing your face before tomorrow morning. So when I wake up in the morning and I wake up, I say, Abba, Lord, we had this discussion. I told you that I was coming home. Take me away. He didn't do nothing. So I was there, living in it. And for a long time, I was just there. And I just come to church. I wasn't doing anything in church. I was just sitting there. Until one Sunday, Satan came to church. Oh, you don't know that he comes to church. You didn't read Job. God cries, calling meeting of his children. He came, he showed up, and he was not escorted out. He was there. He was not even having conversation, telling God that he's been walking to and fro, and he came to visit you. Anyway, so you can be sure, offense, so many things were going on in my mind. But that day, Satan showed up. And he came to stand just behind my chair. Useless. You are not needed by anybody anymore. Can't you see? The women that you started this thing with, can you not see? They're doing well without you. The children's ministry that you started, can you not see? They are even happier without you. The ashes that you used to sort out. Oh, Charlie, it's good. Are you in the church?
We're here.
You see, I'm sharing this because somebody, you are listening to me and you are in your own world. When you are hurt, nothing that you are seeing, you don't see it clear. You don't see it clear. It was a long road to restoration. But I remember that morning because I suddenly discovered that if Satan can come to stand here, he can delete me. I discovered that I was going to be deleted. Now, about 7 months after I had been sacked, I was invited back to full-time ministry. I had two problems. The first problem was that I was still hurt. The second problem was that I was back in my job, so I didn't know how to leave again, you see. So I told my father, no, not full-time day. It's not going to happen. I'm not coming. I did not know that from the time when I said that to him to the time when I re-entered full-time ministry, 9 years was going to pass. 9 solid years. And in those 9 years, I longed to be full-time, but I was entangled. So many things until I had this experience and I realized that my life was in danger. I still remember the song that was being sung at the time. Yes, praise and worship was going on. You know when you are not happy, you are just sitting down like some of you. You are standing, but you are sitting. And the guy began to sing, and I began to listen because I could see that this offense was about to bum me out. You remember stages of disloyalty? What do? You become passive. Was it not passivity? Are you not on the way? And I remember that the guy was singing a song. Do you know this song? Maybe you can sing it for me. Oh, my soul, do you not know? Have you not heard? It's been from the beginning. The Lord your God is by your side. Just sing it.
Oh, my soul, don't be afraid. Hope in the Lord by his righteousness and power. He will strengthen, he will guide.
When he got to the chorus, I jumped from my seat.
And I will soar on wings like eagles, held by the hand of God. I will run and not grow tired when on his name I call. For the Lord is never weary, his ways are beyond my thoughts. I will trust in him with all my heart.
As soon as they got to that chorus, I jumped to my feet and I began to sing it because I knew that if I didn't move, that was the end of me. And the chorus says that I will soar on the wings of eagles, held by the hand of God. You may be here, you are in pain because you've been corrected and you feel that nothing else. I mean, I'm dejected. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. That's the refrain of the enemy. But it is not true. Am I talking to somebody? It was then that I made up my mind that whatever correction is given, I will take it. Like that. I don't need to go. You see, this excursion that had gone on almost cost me everything. Are you in the church? If my father was not the person that he is, it would have been somewhere say, Charlie, take yourself. Take your life. It's okay. Or you don't understand what I'm trying to say. But by staying in my life, and he kept talking, I kept talking to him. By the grace of God, I was restored. And that's why I can be here, standing here talking to you. I learned it. It was a painful lesson. It cost me a year and a half of my life. When I finally came back into full time, I came back knowing that I was 9 years late. And I remember that for the first year, 2-3 years in full time, I was working like a mad person. Because I felt that time was, you know, you are behind. And that burden only left me when I had a talk with my father and I said, Daddy, 9 years have passed. And I remember him laying his hand on my shoulder and saying, be free to just worship God. Be free to just serve the Lord. It rescued my life. It rescued my life. Nothing is worth the ministry God has given to you. Don't freak out. Amen? Oh, are you there?
Yeah.
Don't freak out. Just take it. Have you seen how a child takes correction? A proper child. Oh, you have just blasted the child. Where does he go when he gets up? Straight. Straight. Doesn't go anywhere. Your brother, stop what you are doing. Sit down. 2 minutes, you sit. After the 2 minutes, where is he going? Back to the one who shouted. Right back there. Right back. And the Bible says that it is those who can receive like a child who will make it to heaven. From today, decide, I'm correctable. After all, who are we? Who am I? It doesn't matter whether the correction was done by shouting, by a private meeting, in public. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It was something that you needed. Today, I am contending for excellent oil. Oh, yes. I'm contending for excellent oil over my life. And I've decided that, I come from somewhere. I belong to somebody. I have a father. He can talk my matter anytime, any day, anywhere. May offense never be the reason why the enemy gets you. This morning, I want you to stand to your feet. And I want you to start to talk to God. Some of you have to offload something before the Lord. For some of us, our pride is too much. That's why we're offended. Today, you must repent of that pride and say, Lord, I have repented. I repent. Forgive me. And just talk to him. Say, Lord, I can be corrected. I will be corrected. I must be corrected. I can take it. Thank you for loving me, Lord. I have corrected myself. I've taken what you are saying. I've taken it. And the excellent oil will begin to flow. The excellent oil that will make you a special person. The excellent oil. David took the correction of Nathan. It was the difference between him and Saul. And an excellent oil came upon him. This afternoon, there's excellent oil available. But you have to be ready to receive it. Let go of that offense. Maybe it's even from home. Your father did you wrong. Your mother did you wrong. Let it go this morning. Let it go, that the oil of God will find a place in you. Maybe it was your shepherd. You used to sit on the front seat, but now you are found at the back of the church. This morning or this afternoon, let it go. You used to be active. You used to be doing a lot. Now, unless we beg you, come back. Just come back. Just come back. Come to your pastor and say, Pastor, I'm ready. Come to your shepherd and say, Shepherd, forgive me. I'm ready. I'm going to hold it. I'm going to do it again. I'm going to do even more than before. This afternoon, talk to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for correcting. Thank you for never being tired of correcting us. Oh, yes. Talk to him this afternoon. This afternoon, the Lord is healing us and helping us. Oh, yes. Say to your, I will be corrected. I will take the correction. Oh, Jesus. Thank you for healing that is coming into us this afternoon. Thank you. I'm not too big to be corrected. Some of us, we think we are grown, we are old. You are grown before who? Put your age aside. You are not called because of your age. You are called because the Lord has need of you. You have made yourself useless. Hey, I'm older than you. So what? So what? So what? I don't know who I'm addressing, but that is yours. Let go. Oh, yes. Father, make us ready to do your will. Oh, yes. Purify my heart. Let it be as gold and precious. Find us. this afternoon, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, maybe you are here and because of an offense, because of a correction, you took offense and you walked away. But this afternoon you're saying, Lord, I want to come back. If that is you, place your hand over your heart as we pray. You say, I want to come back. I let go of the offense. Maybe you are even offended with God. Maybe you're offended with somebody over you. But as you place your hand over your heart and we pray, I believe that God, the grace of God will come on you. Let us pray. Father, thank you that you are the one who heals us and delivers us. Thank you for delivering us from our pride. Thank you for delivering us from our inability to take correction. But today, Lord, we confess that we will take it. We put our pride aside in the name of Jesus, and we receive grace to be corrected, and grace to be humble like a child. Forgive us for walking away from you and your correction. Thank you that because you love us, you correct us. May your excellent oil begin to flow upon our heads as we receive your correction. In the mighty name of Jesus, and all the saints shall say, Amen.
God bless you for listening. We pray that the word of God will be rooted and grounded in your heart as you give attention to the word. Kindly follow Pastor T and Love Economy Church on all social networks for more of God's word. Don't forget to subscribe to the Pastor T podcast. Simply search for Pastor T on any podcast app, plug in, and enjoy God's word. Visit our website at loveeconomychurch.org for more information. God bless.